This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, NY World Class Market, New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Cameron Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenizer Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Boxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, so we have something of a dilemma here on the Baseball Reporters. By now, you can probably guess what it is. We've been talking Dave Dombrowski all week long, and it has been nearly a week since the Red Sox fired their president of baseball operations. I don't know that there is that much more to get into with Dombrowski, but by all means, let me just say, and this is a disclaimer that applies really for the balance of the season, because you have a team that's out of contention, that is playing out the string, that doesn't appear to have any major issues or developments going on and won't for some time. And so, just as a programming note, there are 2 weeks left. 2 weeks from today will be the last episode of the Baseball Reporters. We typically do not do shows during the winter. As you know, we have Bruins programming, Celtics programming here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We carry the rights or the game rights for both of those teams as well as the Patriots. So we have plenty of programming during the winter. However, I should point out that this offseason, we will be doing a Baseball Reporters podcast. Okay, we will be doing a podcast during the winter. You can get podcasts of the show now. You can obviously find those on 98.5thesportshub.com, but the podcast during the winter, we will, you know, you can download in all the usual places, iTunes, etc., and on our website. And so we'll continue to stay up on baseball news, and you'll just get it in podcast form. Okay, so let me get that out of the way up front. And again, any and all issues pertaining to the Red Sox over these last 2 weeks, this is the hour you want to call. 617-779-0985. Jim Murray will be alongside for the next couple of weeks, as will Jimmy Stewart, our producer, and Billy Lanny. And so anything that strikes you about this team, if you still have thoughts lingering from the beginning of the week on Dombrowski, on Red Sox ownership, on a potential successor, how the Red Sox should handle it, how they have handled it, all of that. 617-779-0985. There's a couple of things I want to get to from last night's game. I don't expect that many of you watched, and I don't blame you. But there was a big development in Major League Baseball this week, and by big, I mean historic. Historic development in Major League Baseball this week. Many of you may have missed it. Many of you may not have even noticed it. Many of you probably heard about it and shrugged it off. So what am I talking about? Pretty simple thing. It happened in a game, believe it or not, involving the Baltimore Orioles earlier this week. Here it is.
Ferguson, the high set. And that ball is tagged. Oh, baby. Goodbye. Home run. Jonathan Villar brings in three on a scorcher. And the Orioles take a 5-2 lead. Yeah, that home run's going to go down in the record books with his name next to it. That home run was the 6,106th homer hit this year. That is a new Major League record for home runs in a season. The record had been set in 2017 at 6,105. VR's was 6,106.
So there you go. Major League record this year for home runs in a season combined by all teams. 6,106. That was as of a couple of nights ago. The number's going to go up. Remember, we still have 2 full weeks left in the regular season. This happened a few days ago, so there are really almost 3 weeks to go, and that was the record. Here's the alarming part. You heard John Miller say right there, or was that, what's his name, Gary Thorne?
Gary Thorne.
Gary Thorne. I don't know why. John Miller used to do the Orioles years ago. I don't know why I had that in my head. Well, that was weird, huh? Gary Thorne in the broadcast.
Of course, he's no more for hockey than he is for baseball, even though he's been doing the Orioles for so long.
So you heard, you heard Gary Thorne say there that the record was set in 2017. Prior to 2017, do you know what the record was for home runs? And I'm giving you rough numbers now. Around 5,600. Okay, so this year now is 6,100. That record was set in 2000. In 2000. Murray, what was going on in baseball during 2000? Billy Lanny knows.
The steroid era.
In the middle of the steroid era. 2000 was smack dab in the middle of that steroid era in 2000. So think of that, Murray, okay? 5,600 some odd home runs hit in the middle of the steroid era. It was the most all time. Now, 19 years later, they set a new record that beats that one by, what is that, 10%? 10% greater than the steroid era in Major League Baseball this year. And you tell me, is the game better or worse?
Worse. Way worse. Way, way worse. They like have watered down all the fundamentals of the game. It's too much swinging for the fences now. Then it was different. The steroid era, part of the charm of it was to me, and I think people like Billy Lanny, is that those guys that were knocking the ball out of the park, your Maguires, your Sosas, Bonds, everyone else, they all looked like comic book heroes, you know, the way that they were built. So there was that aspect to it that I think gave you that tune-in factor. This, it's home runs or strikeouts. That's what the game is now. No one hits for contact. No one's trying to get on base. It's home runs, strikeouts, and the game's lasting like 5 hours. That's it.
So this is why I ask, okay? And again, we'll get to your calls, too, and I know a few of you are already lined up here to talk about the Red Sox. I'm going to continue to take Red Sox calls. I just thought it was a good night to introduce this because it happened this week. It's not something we haven't discussed in the past, but it's been a while. And this year now, officially, more home runs hit Major League Baseball than ever before. When this happened back in 2000, when this happened at the turn of the millennium, starting in 98 with the Maguire-Sosa home run race, everybody said the same thing. Home runs saved baseball. People wanted home runs. It saved the game. Now you're getting 10% more than you did in the steroid era. And the numbers aren't even completely in yet. They're going to finish with, I don't know how many home runs are hitting the major leagues on a daily basis, but it's going to be a lot. So they're going to finish with what? Call it 6,300, 6,500? I have no idea. Maybe they beat it by 1,000 compared to what it was in 2000, whatever the number is. Okay, it's going to be a big difference than it was in the steroid era. And yet, I would argue, not only has the game gotten worse, but popularity is decreasing. So think of that. That in 2000, in the middle of the steroid era, popularity in baseball was growing and booming as a result of home runs. Now, 10% more home runs have been hit, and yet it feels like interest in the game is going in the other direction. So this is a very simple way of asking you as a fan, do you like the game now, and what is it about home runs that aren't as appealing as they used to be? So Murray just gave you some insight and some thought as to why it is for him that way. I'll tell you why it is for me. There's nothing else. It feels like that's all there is. It's a home run or nothing. It used to be that a handful of guys would go up there trying to hit home runs because that was the strength of their skill set. Or maybe that was the extent of their skill set. But now you've got Christian Vasquez going up there trying to launch the ball, and he's going to finish with something close to 20. And guys who are not power hitters are hitting 30, and league leaders are hitting over 50 again. And you're getting the home run just doesn't mean anything anymore. Baseball has gotten so one-dimensional, it's slow, it's boring, and there's no variety. Home runs, unbelievable. You could have a home run record set, and it feels like in Boston, like the season never happened. I mean, Murray, you tell me, can you remember a Red Sox season more irrelevant than this one?
Nope.
I mean, I have a hard time. If you were to say, well, what about the last time they finished last place, 2015? I tell you that in the final 2 months of that season, the Red Sox were interesting. Mookie Betts, Dave Dombrowski took over. Mookie Betts, the young guys started to play well, and there was promise going into the next year. What is here with this team? This is a bad year all the way around for baseball in this market. Bad locally, bad nationally. 617-779-0985. I get some other things I want to get to, too. Specifically as they relate to the team and the future. We'll do that in the coming segments. But we'll kick it off tonight with Dan in a car. Dan, what do you got?
Hey, Tony, I'm following up on your comments this week about trying to obtain Epstein, trading Mookie, offering a long-term contract. I agree with the contract. I agree with ownership. But if I'm a Cubs, Mookie's just not going to do it. A guy that's going to be a free agent of 1 year, and they have a problem with Madden, right? They have. It sounds like they have quarreling. He's leaving soon. They might ask for Cora. Would you trade Cora for Epstein? And if they ask for divas at the same time, would you do it?
Okay, so Dan, hold on one second before you go. Would you trade Cora for Theo?
You know what, Tony? I would. If it would speed up the process and you can get him over here, I would do it.
In
it
a
might
second.
Cause some disruption.
In a second. I would do it in a second. To me, the most important guy in your organization is your GM now. I mean, the star players, don't get me wrong. You need the talent, too. But I think it's established now. The most important guy in your organization in baseball is the GM. So now, look, I said I'd trade Mookie for Theo. I said that, I think, 2 months ago. It'll never come to that. Mookie's an overpayment. Okay, Mookie's an overpayment. It'll never come to that because, again, when Theo was traded the last time, Jimmy, what's the name of the guy the Red Sox got for Chris Carpenter?
Yeah, but not that Chris Carpenter.
Okay, right, just a nobody Chris Carpenter.
Yeah.
So remember, Epstein had 1 year in his deal here when he went to the Cubs, so the Red Sox had compensation. It was a pitcher that nobody's ever heard of who never amounted to anything. So now he's got 2 years left on this deal. Would the Red Sox have to give something up? Sure. Yeah. And they'd have to give Theo an astronomical contract. But I'll tell you what, you raise an interesting scenario. What if the Cubs say, all right, send us your manager back? I would do it. No question I would do it. I would do it in a second. Chris is in Chicago. What do you got?
Tony, before I get to my point, do you think that this is the greatest baseball place in the world right now?
No.
It's kind of a disaster, like the Red Sox. They have these huge contract decisions coming up with Chris Bryant and Rizzo. It's oddly a very similar situation. So before we start giving away the farm for Theo, let's think about this situation because there's not a lot of really happy people out here right now.
Okay, so Chris, you're in Chicago. What's the state of their farm system?
It's not great. It's not great. They haven't had really much pitching really in their farm system forever. And they still don't have it. And like I said before, they have these massive contract decisions, much like the Red Sox do. And if you ask people out here, they're not really overly excited about, I wouldn't say just with Theo, but just the Cubs situation right now. They're teetering and are not making the playoffs. And there's not a lot of good baseball in the Central right now.
So yeah, listen, Chris, you're not the first person I've heard that from in recent days, and you want to tell me that Theo's in a bit of a slump or something? Fine. I'll take your word on it. The absence of pitching in the organization, he pumped out a few guys here, Lester and Papelbon most notably. But when he went to the Cubs, and there was this general theory or philosophy developing in baseball, that what you do is you develop your farm system with positional players, and then you sign for and trade for pitching. That's what you do, or that's how you do it. I think a lot of teams have adopted that. Hell, I'll tell you that. I think the Houston Astros have adopted that. Look at how they built that team. And their pitching staff, Verlander, Gerrit Cole, those are guys they brought in by a trade. Zach Greinke's another one. So now, look, there were some homegrown guys here they had pitching. Keuchel, I think, was originally an Astro. But those guys were all brought in from the outside. As long as you're pumping out players, you can get pitching. One way or another, you can get it. So now, the state of the Cubs' minor league system as it pertains to positional players, I don't know. Here's what I do know. I believe in Theo's ability to build it. Does that mean he's perfect or he doesn't have slumps? No. But I believe in his ability to build it. I would say the same thing about Billy Beane. I would say the same thing about Andrew Friedman. I'd say the same thing about Brian Cashman. Get me any one of those guys. But the point is, I want a premium GM who has a long-term vision, who has the money to fill it in with free agents, and who has the balls to make a deal when he needs to make one. I want one of those guys. Okay, 617-779-0985. State of the Red Sox, the state of the game, and we haven't talked about a lot of positive stuff with this team in a long time. I'll give you one thing that you really should be happy about, and there was a reminder of it last night. We'll get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
A couple of pop-ups to begin the inning in front of Xander Bogaerts.
I don't really know what I bring to the table, but...
Oh, you'd bring a lot, believe me. There's a shot to right center field. That's going to land just in front of the track and take a big bounce. Xander Bogaerts romping into second base. That is his 50th double of the season. Just the 10th time that's been done in Red Sox history. Second time in the last few days. And he has joined his teammate Rafael Devers with 52 base hits.
The guy comes to play every single day. He's really taken over that leadership role. You know, the kid goes about it the right way every night. So to see something like that that's not going to happen very often, it's really good to see.
So again, all the Red Sox are playing for now is individual stuff. In fact, really, I feel like they played that way all year, at least most guys. Oddly enough, here's one of the guys who didn't. I don't know, it's funny how it works that way, right? That the guys who tend to be a little more selfish don't put up the numbers that they should, while the guys who tend to be team-oriented do. And in this case, Xander Bogaerts last night got his 50th double. He's got 30 home runs on the year. Rafael Devers eclipsed a similar threshold not too long ago. But Bogaerts is notable because he's a shortstop. He's a shortstop. Jim Murray.
Tony Maz.
Name the only other shortstop in Major League history with 30 home runs and 50 doubles in a season.
Noma?
Alex Rodriguez.
Oh, duh.
A-Rod.
I don't know that.
No, I put you on the spot. But that's the kind of company Xander Bogaerts is in, right? Now, say what you want about A-Rod. He was a great talent. Okay? He was a great, great talent. And Bogaerts this year, as good as Bogaerts was last year, I doubted that he would be able to do it again. I said, let's see. Let's see what that looks like. He got better. And he got better after getting a contract. And so to me, oh, this is the model for your, what you want every player on your team to be. This is your good news for the Red Sox season. Xander Bogaerts not only put up the same numbers he did a year ago, he got better. He did it after he got paid, and he had a historic year.
Yeah, that's the thing that to me is the most impressive with him this year, and he has been the biggest bright spot, him at Devers, but that he did this after he got paid, and considering how this team mostly carried themselves, most of them, for how this whole season, like, show up fat and happy, we won the World Series, we don't really need to try. The season you got out of him after you got that deal, that's awesome.
It's amazing, right? I mean, really, it tells you everything you want, and I was always a believer when Bogaerts was a prospect, this was a franchise guy. I thought, this is a guy who should hit third in your lineup. And when he didn't become that, and he didn't become that right away, I got frustrated to the point where 2 years ago, I was ready to move him. I was ready to trade him. And you know how you know when a guy's a great player? When he can do pretty much a little bit of everything. So early in his career, Bogaerts hit lefties better than righties, which is not unusual for young players or guys that who are good players, not great ones. You typically hammer the guy who's coming at you from the opposite side. A righty batter would hammer left-handed pitching or the other way around, but when you're facing your own side, it's a lot harder because the ball often runs away from you. Bogaerts this year was actually better against righties. He hit .318 with 22 homers and an OPS of .966 against right-handed pitching. His OPS at home was .997, which is exceptional, but on the road, .881. Also very good. 16 homers at home, 15 on the road. Doubles, 27 at home, 23 on the road. First half, OPS, .919. Second half, .971. You want to go by month? Bogaerts' OPS, .825 in April. He started out a little slow. It's not a great hitter's month. After that, 952, 1,024, 1,027, 957. September, he's at 705. So he's having a bad month. Not that it matters because the games don't matter. I'd rather him play well when the games matter. Devers also has been a bright spot, but Bogaerts to me has been the biggest development on the team. Nothing fluky there. You can count on him now. That's at least one guy they can count on. Joe's in Framingham. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, yo, Maz, look, I claim to know a lot about baseball, and I don't, you know, but I can speak to a lot of the younger fans, a lot of the younger Fairweather fans.
Well, you're exactly the guy I want to hear from then, Joe.
This is, look, and I couldn't disagree with you more about, you know, home runs being the reason why baseball is losing in popularity. It's not that. We want to see more of the home runs. And it's crazy how more home runs are being hit since the steroid era. That's awesome. But look, Maz, this is the reason why. And I know you guys have talked about this in your show. It's because the games are too long. We want everything is starting to be condensed. You see that in the NFL. You see that in basketball. They change the rules up. So more things are happening in a condensed time period.
So, Joe, no question. The games move too slowly. And again, I'm going to let you go just because I have other people lined up. I just want to clear up one thing you said. I never said the game's bad because of too many homers. If I did, I didn't mean it that way. My point is that home runs alone are not enough. Home runs alone are not enough. I don't mind home runs. I like home runs. But when they're all I get enough of them. There's lots of things I like. I like lobster. I like filet. If I eat them every night, I'm going to get sick of them if I never have anything else. And so I need some variety so that the filet and the lobster mean something when I get it. Billy Lanny, who obviously works with Jimmy back there, our assistant producer behind the glass. Billy just came in here and told me 41 guys hit over 30 home runs this year. 41, including Vogelback on the Mariners. Should I know who that guy is?
Who?
He's got a .212 average, but he's got 30 home runs. So, like, I see a guy like that and say, if you hit .212, you're not playing for me. I don't care if you hit 30 homers. But now they don't care. Hunter Renfroe, who's a good young talent or a good talent with the Padres, he's batting .222. He's got 30 homers, 31. Gary Sanchez, even with the Yankees, .233. Gary Sanchez should not be batting .233. I'd take 27 homers from Sanchez or 25 if he could hit .280, and he can. Kyle Schwarber with the Cubs, 35 homers, .233 average. He's a hack, if you ask me. But that's what baseball wants now. They want hacks. Too many hacks. Ryan's in Andover. What do you got, Ryan?
Hey, Tony, I'm so psyched about your podcast. That's awesome, man. It's been more
appreciate that.
To listen to you. Yeah, it's been better to listen to you than the game itself. But anyway, I couldn't agree more with the last caller. You made the comparison with 2000 being the year of the most the home run record. But since then, also the cell phones have come out, and I think the need for instant gratification is really hurting baseball. There's too many innings. There's too much that's being asked of baseball fans to be in tune with the season as a whole. I think two things need to happen.
So,
go ahead.
Yeah, no, Ryan. Listen, I don't want to get into how to improve pace of play. I think we all know what the ways to do that are. But we are now in a mobile era. We're in an instant gratification era. I think I got my first cell phone right around 96. Okay? So you're talking 5 years after where cell phones were around, but the technology and the development is so rapid that now everybody's carrying around a TV and a computer with them all the time. So that's part of it. I just think that people now are used to the immediacy and have things at their fingertips. The pace of baseball is a joke. It's a joke. So home runs, yeah, I mean, I like home runs, don't get me wrong. I also like a lot of the other things in the game, and I would like to see those in tandem with pace of play. Pace of play is a no-brainer to me. That's easy. But the point is now, I think baseball wanted home runs to save the game again, and maybe the good news this year is they got some kind of message. But you know what? With the way baseball's reacted, I'm not sure they ever get any message. They've done nothing to improve the pace of the game or the quality of the product on the field. And I say this in all honesty, the quality of the game now sucks. It sucks. It just it gives you no reason to watch. I can catch the highlights in 5 minutes less and see the long home runs, and I have to sit in front of my TV because nothing happens in the rest of the time. So what do I need to watch a game for? Complete waste of time is what it is. Baseball needs to figure that out. Don't go anywhere. We'll get back to your phone calls. I also want to touch on last night's starting pitcher because I have an opinion and a theory as it pertains to the Red Sox. I don't think it's that far-fetched. I'll share it with you after Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Just a quick thought before we get back to your phone calls, and that is the starting rotation or the starting pitching matchup last night, Julius Chacin against Clay Buchholz. If I were you, I'd start getting used to that kind of pitching matchup because I think you're going to get that next year.
Puke.
Okay, so a guy like Buchholz, and this is not what you want to hear, but my job is not to tell you what you want to hear. My job is to tell you what I think is going to happen next or, you know, where it's all going. Guys like Clay Buchholz and Julius Chacin. Am I pronouncing that right? Julius?
I'm not sure.
I don't know why I'm self-conscious about that.
Yeah, Julius.
In any case, you know, if he were from Arkansas,
like
I wouldn't care.
The place in the mall?
I don't get
Julius
it.
Julius Orange?
Orange Julius. So, look, those are the kinds of guys you're looking at. Now, you're going to get all geeked up about Chacin now because he's made a few appearances here. 5 2/3 innings. He hasn't given up a run. Yeah, we'll take him. He's not that good. He got cut by the Brewers. He had a 5.79 ERA in the National League. But these are the guys the Red Sox are now going to have to take chances on. And Clay Buchholz also in that list. Those are the kinds of guys because they're not going to have a lot of payroll and they're going to have holes to fill. They need one starter. They might need two, depending on what happens with Sale. And I think Sale's cooked. Just my two cents. We should be finding out more on that, by the way, in the next week or so, right? That'll be the 6 weeks with Chris Sale. He's going to be reevaluated, so he should be reevaluated any time now. And then he's going to start throwing again, and I bet his arm won't hold up.
Does that mean the owners are going to have a press conference about it? Oh, wait, they don't do that.
No, correct, they don't. We'll get a release on it, though, Jimmy, I'm sure.
Neat.
Andrew in Melrose wants to talk about the GM search. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, so isn't it ironic that the guy who blew up the farm system and the bullpen and can't negotiate contracts goes to get a pay raise and a contract extension gets canned? And when's the last time we heard about arbitration or the Red Sox ever getting international money in a trade?
So you're going back to the Orioles deal now? Or did they just make a deal that got some bonus money? I didn't see that. So, or maybe he's saying it hasn't happened. Maybe that's what he's getting at. And so it's a good point. I mean, if I were the Red Sox, I would take as much international bonus money or, you know, something that could get me young players that I don't have. I would absolutely do that. Dombrowski, don't kid yourself. I said this last night. Dombrowski didn't go in there for a raise and for, you know, an extension. You know what Dombrowski went in there for the other night? To get fired because he doesn't want to stick around. He knew what was coming. The Shaughnessy story came out. The Shaughnessy column came out. And again, I think it's right to call it a call or a story because I don't think it was just opinion. I think it was informed speculation, as we like to say. So I think Shaughnessy knew Dombrowski was cooked. I think Dombrowski knew he was cooked. And so he went in there to force the issue so they'd fire him and he could go home. Because why stick around? That would be professional. Andrew's in a car. Andrew, what do you got?
Tony, thanks for taking my call. I'm a little confused about the farm system. These players obviously exist, right, in the AAA and AA. Are the pitchers just at their max skill level? Is there a reason that they're not? Why are the Red Sox so bad at bringing these guys up to speed and getting them into the MLB?
So you're talking about pitchers now in general with the Red Sox?
Yes.
Okay, so look, you know, it's a good question. I mean, some organizations historically are good at evaluating certain positions. Others are good at others. I mean, the Mets have always been good with pitchers. The Red Sox have always been good with positional players. I'll tell you, the Dodgers have been good at both. The Orioles, historically, for a long, long time, were good at both. Now they're probably one of the worst. And so Theo's never been a great pitching guy. Okay, Theo's never been a great pitching guy. But in terms of evaluating and developing positional players, I would say overall, Theo, pretty good. Pretty good. So I don't have a specific answer for you as to why the Red Sox aren't good at developing pitchers. The Yankees haven't developed many pitchers in recent years either. Pitching's hard. I mean, it's a hard thing because the injury factor really does come into play for a lot of teams and a lot of players. For whatever reason, some teams are just better at it than others. And I don't know that, I mean, I have to really think about it and go through and say which organizations have had the best history with developing pitchers. You know, the Mets pop into my head right away. The Mets have always been good at pitching, and the Dodgers too. The others, I'd have to think about it. Billy's in New Hampshire on the state of the game. What do you got, Billy?
Hey, Tony, how are you?
Good.
Hey, I'm 54 years old, been a Red Sox fan my entire life, grew up in the Boston area, been up here in southern New Hampshire for a long time. You know, I think the fabric of the people that are on the field right now is somewhat disenfranchising, and I think that's part of the reason why the game is going in the opposite direction. I compare it to hockey. Anybody, not necessarily the Bruins, anybody in the NHL, you can look at any team in the NHL and see that those players have true grit. Right, they're dedicated. They work hard. There's a stigma now in national baseball, not just the Red Sox, that they're a bunch of prima donnas. They're super overpaid, and I think it's hurting the game. I don't know if it's necessarily the pace of play. We all know that needs to be addressed. I think it's bigger than that, and I think it's going to continue to lose the fan base. And I think the millennials have no patience for that whatsoever either.
Yeah. So Billy,
guys like me.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to let you go. I think you made your point. I don't think that's it. I don't. Because I would tell you that the biggest superstar in the game is not a prima donna and Mike Trout. And the other thing is, you're telling me there aren't prima donnas in other sports? You don't think that Antonio Brown's a prima donna? Or you want to go through Ezekiel Elliott's a prima donna, not a prima donna? Of course he is. They all are. All the superstars generally have some measure of diva quality in them, including the quarterback down in Foxborough. It's not it. It's not it. I'm talking about, so again, it might be that for you, but the quality of the product, the game on the field sucks. I mean, we used to value lots of things about baseball. We still value home runs. But there was a lot of other things you could see at a game, and the pace moved. So you could see a guy who could run well and play defense and, you know, and put the ball in play, all of that. Now it just feels like they all do the same thing and it takes 4 hours. That combination, brutal. And the power alone is not enough to save the game anymore. Mike's in Groton on Xander Bogaerts. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, I just want to bring it back to Xander and how, if I'm not mistaken, maybe a few years ago, he said some comments maybe to the media about not really liking playing in like a big market team or like under the pressure. Maybe he'd rather play a little below the pressure. And at that time, he did have like a rookie, like his number, like what, 72 in the World Series in 2013.
So Mike, can I stop you for 1 second? Cause I don't think he ever said he didn't want to play here. He acknowledged that in key spots, he felt pressure, but I don't think he ever equated that to playing in Boston.
Okay. Like I said, I wasn't really exact on those comments.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. I just want to connect the two. But the idea of feeling pressure in big spots, he did say that.
And I just want to bring it back that he went from that to winning another World Series, and then, I don't know, and this arguably could be his best seasons after winning his second World Series. And I think, I don't know, that's just a good thing. I just want to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so Mike, listen, I couldn't agree with you more on that. Xander Bogaerts is a stud and a pro. And this year should prove it. So listen, you know the old adage. You don't need me to tell you. You know the old adage. Show me what you do when things are going bad. Anybody can show up and play well when things are going good. Anybody can do that. The job's easy then. Things are great. You show up. You're winning games. Even when you have a bad day, someone else picks you up. Team keeps winning. Everything's great. No problem. Can you do it when things go badly? And can you do it when you don't have anything else to play for? Meaning a championship or a contract. Bogaerts has done it wire to wire. The only thing to me that separates him from Devers is Devers still is trying to prove that he belongs in the big leagues at a superstar level, that he belongs in the conversation with the great players in the game. Devers is still playing for money. Bogaerts isn't anymore. He's got 2 rings. He's got his big contract. The team was out of contention. If there was ever a guy that didn't need to play this year and could have gone sour, it was Bogarts. He didn't do that. That, to me, is the most impressive thing that happened on the team this year. Chris Sale got hurt. David Price, partially hurt, part shut it down. I think a lot of these guys have basically quit. If they're not playing for contracts and they can't win, they're done. Bogarts kept going all year. So he's having a bad month now, but I think by then it was over and he's starting to fade a little bit. Although, let's see, I bet you he has a better month by the end of it than he's having now. But Bogarts is the best thing that happened to this team all year long.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.